Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of Our Drift down here at the Wham! Studios, Talk 1600. Brandon Drake joining me in studio.
Love being here.
Derek Stone.
Hello.
Handling the juggling for us.
Hey, let's touch on Derek Stone here for a second. You know, I was watching I was watching the Winter Classic.
And your song.
And all the snow and the cold weather, the wind chill, and I thought to myself, what kind of a demented psychopath would go down there and sit in that for like 4 hours? And I heard Derek on the Clark cast explaining that he did.
I know. Isn't that amazing? I watched it on TV, you know, most of it. And I thought, God, the seats must be terrible. You can't see anything on that little rink down there, you know?
They're terrible in September because the seats are about 8 inches long, at least the last time I went there, 10-plus years ago.
Yeah, me too.
And you've got somebody invariably sitting next to you that takes up, 20 of those seats. So there's going to be an argument.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't find the stadium comfortable. I enjoy partying outside the stadium. I don't do that anymore either. But, yeah, I can't imagine, yeah. Derek. You're crazy going to that game. You and the rest of those knuckleheads, 105,000 of you.
Derek, were you able to see anything?
Yeah, I was able to see some of the action. I was on the southeast corner of the stadium, so when they came down to that part of the rink, I was able to see what was going on there. But when they were at the other end, I had to look up at the video screen in the stadium because I couldn't see the puck at all.
I bet you'd have to have a heck of an arm to throw an octopus that far, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. That'd be a long way from where I was at, yeah.
The spinning squid were flying.
Hey, Derek, did Brady Hoke come out there on ice skates and, just apologize for his failed season?
No, unfortunately not. He was nowhere to be found. It was all about hockey on that day.
Your cruelty knows no bounds, man.
Derek, I admire your passion for the sport. You're a true fan. You really are.
Yeah. I've been a diehard Wings fan since I was since the early 90s when Yzerman and Fedorov and Lidstrom started the great successful years and that great 20-plus year run that is still going on of playoff appearances and the four Stanley Cups. It's just been an awesome ride watching them over the years.
Have you had a chance to kiss the cup, dude?
No. But actually, for Christmas, I did get a Stanley Cup popcorn popper.
Nice.
So, yeah.
As seen on TV.
It. Yeah.
Right?
Wait, there's more.
So, yeah, I have a little bit of a taste of what it might be like to lift the Stanley Cup.
Okay, well, there we go. The Stanley Cup Popcorn Maker. Our sponsor this half hour, Stanley Cup Popcorn Maker. Yeah. Okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a cool gift. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe if they ever win again, we'll get them to come to the station and bring the cup down just for you.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Oh, okay, well.
Where were we?
I don't know.
Before I started
Let's take
this
care
whole,
of business, shall we? Our sponsor this half hour is Pawn to You. If you have high interest rates on your credit cards and big balances, you might want to try going to Pawn2U to get a collateralized loan. Pawn2U can give you a loan on your valuables at your business or home, and it'll be at an interest rate less than what you're paying on some of your credit cards.
So, and less than the mob.
Yeah, well, there you go. You can go to Pawn Loans or email pawnloans, PAWNLOANS, at yahoo.com. Or you can call them 734-389-5228. That number again, 734-389-5228. Or you can go to their website, www.pawn2you.com. Good. It's a nice way to get a little cash infusion if you
Oh, absolutely.
And goodness knows, in this environment, we could all use a little cash infusion. Hint, you know, if you want to advertise on this show, call me Garrett. Okay, there's a segue for you, right? So what we do every week.
Please, people, please send money.
What we do every week on The Drift is go over the stories that I post on The Daily Drift. And, of course, any stories that you want to talk about, you are free to call in and discuss them, be that global warming like Matt was just talking about. It was a good show, too.
Oh, yeah. He sounded fantastic.
Yeah. So anything you want to go talk about, feel free to call us. We're going to have a little fun. We always do. We have plenty of fun on this show.
Yeah, lots of fun. I'm going to say, you know, Matt had bronchitis.
He was
calling in from Skype. So bronchitis and Skype, he sounded just great.
Yeah, he sounded better than my Skype, I think.
Yours sounded good.
Did it?
Absolutely.
I went and listened to it on podcast, and I wasn't impressed. I was telling Derek earlier. I don't know. It might have been because of my subpar microphone or whatever.
But. Well, when I listened to it, it didn't sound like a phone call to me. It sounded like, you know, you were here.
Pretty, I was in the Ice Station Zebra Studios at home, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of that, we do have... you can email me, Gary, at the Daily Drift, if you want to send a comment, or you can call us, 734-822-1600. But Drake and I are both on Facebook, right? Are you using it? You're on it. You just don't use it.
It's there, but I think I forgot my password. I haven't even...
They'll send you an email.
Yeah,
they'll send you an email.
I forgot the password to my email account that I set up for it and my Facebook. I'm going to have to try
it. You've
got to
go on and use it because you're missing all the fun stuff I put on there and other... Theron puts all kinds of good stuff on there, and I'm sure Matt does too. So it's a good way to keep up with Drake and I during the week on Facebook. And so join us. I'll be happy to friend just about anybody, including our friend in North Korea, Kim Jong-un.
He makes one hell of a dog stew.
I don't know if it's dog stew or if it's what the stew the dogs are eating.
Well, after the dogs eat what they ate, it doesn't get any better.
Okay, well, we can talk about that right now. Yeah. I kind of wanted to. I mean, the stories are that he killed his uncle, executed him. Well, now the stories leaking out are that his uncle and five closest associates to the uncle were all... fed to the dogs, a pack of hungry dogs.
It was a Korean Coliseum.
I shouldn't be laughing.
That's not even a restaurant. Yeah,
that's not, you know, I shouldn't be laughing, but...
It is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, not really.
But
you know what? Here's the thing. The uncle is just as evil and guilty and everything, so he deserved basically what he got because he's part of that mafia gang culture over there, and that's what it is. It's nothing more than a mafia.
Yeah. Well, I liked my title because I linked these stories for you on the Daily Drift so you can read them. My title for this one was, It's a Dog Eat Would-Be Dictator World. I'm sorry, Uncle. Whatever. I know you probably died a hideous death.
No, they were battling over money. That's what it is. Control of
the
economy of North Korea.
Yeah. Politics aside, it's a few people, an autocracy there, and they're trying to control it. And the one that's going to give the young kid the most grief is the one that's going to end up on the menu.
You know that one of the biggest sources I read of North Korean income or currency for the country is the export of shellfish, seafood. There's some fishing beds that are like right down there around the South Korean border. You're looking at me and starting to laugh. You're making me laugh. And seriously, I guess they have a lot of this seafood that they export to. They used to export it to South Korea, but South Korea put the kibosh on that, you know, because North Korea has basically been declaring war on them for years, sinking
their
ships.
Well, maybe the next season of Deadliest Catch will be in North Korea, and it really is a deadly
catch.
You don't bring it in on time, you get fed to the dogs. You know,
it's all kinds of fun. That's the next level for reality shows.
Yeah.
It'd be fantastic. I'd watch.
The Coliseum, live from North Korea.
Yeah, with Uncle Kim presiding.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, anyways, so we digress. We were talking about
Facebook. Picture that pudgy little dweeb going, yeah, get him!
Okay, let me get through this before you make me laugh anymore. Okay, so on Facebook, one of my friends, Carol Robinson Graves, who was, I think, a year ahead of me in school, anyways, friend of high school friend, posted a little thing about winter survival tips, right, what we should keep in our cars. And I thought to myself, you know what? We should do that because we got a big snowstorm coming in tomorrow. So I'm going to go through the list of things that you should keep in your car. And I do some of them. I haven't done all of them. Come wintertime, I tell my wife and myself, I keep an extra blanket in the car. I always keep, like, if I'm dressed up, I'm going to put boots in the car. You know, in case the car breaks down, I got to trudge through snow, right?
Yeah.
So here's the 10 things. Put a blanket. If you're stuck in a car that won't start, you need a blanket to keep you warm while you're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty common sense. I always keep, even in the summertime, I keep an extra blanket in the car. Because I'm too lazy to take it out. But
in case you go to the drive-in.
Do they make any drive-ins anymore?
Yes. I was reminiscing.
Yeah. There's a drive-in at the Plymouth Whalers place, wherever that arena is on Beck Road there.
Really?
Yeah. They put up, in the summertime, they're not doing hockey, right? So they put up screens and they have a drive-in theater. So it's close.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm not going to Ford, Wyoming. That's still open. But you know what? You want to talk about bad neighborhood. Whew, sorry if you live in that area, but I am not going there. No. Not. All right. So blankets, number one. Number two, snow shovel. You get stuck. I kind of got stuck the other day and wish I had a shovel, but I managed to power my way out with a Ford Focus.
That got me laughing.
That was off-roading with the Ford Focus. Keep a short-handled shovel. The old military shovels. I wish I still had my dad's. I don't know where it disappeared to, but the good thing to keep in the car.
Is that like the green one, and it's got the like a spade?
Yes. You know, it can turn it into a hatchet, you know,
right,
whatever you want to do. A flashlight, that's pretty self-explanatory. You want to keep a flashlight in there. Hand warmers available at camping stores. You know, you put them in your pockets or your gloves or whatever, and it keeps your hands warm. Matches or lighter. You know, sometimes lighters freeze up if you leave them. You know, I've done that. I've left lighters in the car, and they kind of dry out.
Okay.
They go bad, whatever. It's probably the heat of the car. But
I guess I never really thought of that.
Yeah, something. I read once that you want to put, like, a coffee can. And you can keep the stuff in the coffee can, but if you take a candle, light it, and put it in the coffee can, it kind of becomes like a little heater.
Sure.
You know, and when I used to have the minivan, because I used to drive a minivan for decades, it was always filled with crap, but I always had a little coffee can filled with emergency supplies in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a Boy Scout who never was.
I'm kind of like a Boy Scout who knows what to do but just doesn't do it in all areas of life. I know what I should be doing, but I just get into this little routine like probably most people, and like these survival tips you're talking about, you know, I know to do that, but I just don't think about it and don't do it. So maybe I will do it because I'm hearing it.
Yeah, you know, just put it here. And I'm hoping, you know, we could save somebody's life tonight.
You could.
Yeah.
You could.
A bottle of water, obviously, you know. I always have water in the back of my car because my son takes a bottle of water, has one sip out of it, and then leaves it in the back seat. I'm lucky if it doesn't spill.
But he's your backup plan. He's going to make sure you've got water, Dad. I'm not drinking mine, he says.
A few protein or snack bars or whatever. Now, I know there's always going to be some little jelly beans or something back there that my kid's dropping. So I probably have food in the back of the car that I don't know about, but I'm sure it's there. It says here, number seven, a siphon pump. If you're out of gas, you want to be able to siphon somebody else's gas. I don't know if I'd do that.
Dog-eat-dog world.
It's a dog-eat, would-be dictator world.
Yes.
Light sticks. You can buy those little light sticks at the dollar store. You crack them, gives you a little light. I don't know if you'd read by those, but might comfort you. It would make me feel like I'm in a horror story or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are great for signaling to aliens, you know, on coast to coast.
Yes. How about flares? These should be in your trunk for all seasons. It sounds a little dangerous to have a flare in your trunk. Hot weather, I'd be worried about exploding or something. And then a whistle. It can be used as a signal. So if you're stuck in on the side of the road, you've been plowed over, you can whistle, you know, to get on. There you go.
You can whistle at all the cars going by you.
Yes.
Ignoring you. Yes.
So we can thank my old high school chum, lived down the street from us, Carol Robinson.
I'm going to add one to the list because I actually have this.
Yeah.
I have a big winter coat in my car just in case.
Right.
So kind of like the equivalent to the blanket, but I think the winter coat would be even better because if you had to get out and walk, I mean, this is the type of winter coat I can put over my smaller coat.
Yep.
It's got a hood. I can zip it all up, and I'll be good to go for quite a while if I have to walk in this stuff.
Or one of those old snowmobile suits. You know what I mean? You buy them for $30-$40, and you can just
jump
into it, and away you go. You can trawl up through sub-zero weather all you want. You'll be fine.
You know what? I just thought of something. I just saw a documentary on this.
You want to walk through the snow in a snowmobile?
I want one of those white uniforms that the Finnish ski troops used against the Russians. They kick some major butt.
You'd have to get the urban one that's got like dirty snow on it.
Though. Yeah, dirty snow.
For around here. Right.
You know when the Soviets invaded Finland, you know, just before World War II really became World War II, the Finns lost 25,000 soldiers, the Soviets lost 250,000 soldiers in 100 days. The Finns just mowed them down.
Because they were better shots. Don't the Finns
Everything.
Always win the, what's the biathlon? That's where you ski
and you shoot. Yeah.
Don't the Finns win that every year?
I think they're, right up there.
But the Finns, on the Soviets.
Well, the Finns were more motivated because they were fighting on their soil.
Right.
And their tactics and everything. And the Russians, it exposed to the world, and especially to Hitler, how incompetent the Soviet Army was.
Right.
Anyway, I'll stop because I can go on about that.
You know what? When Hitler got to Moscow, right, and Stalingrad or wherever, it was the opposite way. You know, the Russians mowed them down.
Supply lines were too extended,
yeah. We reminisce about those pleasant of things on this show.
It's part of my ADD kicking in.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some meat and call in if you want to discuss absolutely anything, as you can tell.
We've got some audio coming up.
Oh, yes. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
Miss Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with the Saturday Night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Watch me now! Get down, turn around, and pick a bale of the blues.
From 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie.
The Flares were a one-hit wonder, but the senior class at Ann Arbor St. Thomas will never forget them.
At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots music with Radio John D. and the Greasy Skillet.
Butterball Page was before that with I'm Too Old to Boogie Anymore.
Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight.
Bats Domino from 1956 at Yes Indeed, I'm in Love Again.
Dan Martin brings you the best music of the UK on London Calling at Midnight.
Searchers before that, and this is a song from David Bowie's The Next Day LP.
Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go from 2 a.m. to 4.
I'm keeping you company, man, holding your hand through the radio here.
It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. on the musical side of Wham!
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Here you are, Polly, my latest culinary creation.
These fish fillets look wonderful.
They are. I just used a small amount of a vegetable oil that's low in saturated fat.
Does that matter?
It does. Oils like canola, corn, and olive mainly contain monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, and they can help reduce bad cholesterol in your blood and lower your risk of heart disease and stroke.
How do you know?
The American Heart Association told me at heart.org/facethefats.
Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Greetings, my name is Pastor Yule, host of Just Joshua. I'm delighted to announce that Just Joshua will be heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on Wham! Come journey with us down Freedom's Highway as we discuss today's happenings from a Black conservative Judeo-Christian perspective. Every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., come journey down Freedom's Highway on Just Joshua.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching our drift here at the Wham! Talk 1600 studios. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey, thank you, sir.
All right, so we fooled around for the first 20 minutes of the show. We didn't get to anything, did we? It's going to get better. Okay, so seriously, for a minute there, in Ann Arbor News, a lead story for me today is you've heard of the Wally train, right? They want to run a commuter train between Howell, Michigan and Ann Arbor, Michigan. Didn't know about it? I've complained about it on the show a number of times.
I've heard from Detroit to Ann Arbor.
right.
Yeah.
Well, they want to spend, they're going to get a grant, federal grant. So they're like, well, it's a grant. It's not taxed. Yes, it is.
Money for everybody.
Yeah. $650,000 they want to use to further study this commuter rail between Ann Arbor and Howell. this year. Okay? And what it is, they want to run a train three times in the morning, three times in the evening, to relieve the congestion on US 23. So they're thinking people are going to get off, out of their cars, anywhere between Howell, Hamburg, Whitmore Lake, jump on this train, take it to, I think originally it was going to go to a place not downtown Ann Arbor, you know. So you would have to jump onto another shuttle or bus or taxi.
This sounds like a train going from Hooterville to Pixley.
Yes. Yes. It's exactly right. It's the train that does nothing. It's really a silly, silly feel-good project. The people driving it, of course, are the Ann Arborites. Oh, this is a feel-good thing. It's green. We can get cars off the road. They'll use less energy, right?
But there are there enough people, like, on a regular basis going from Howell and Whitmore Lake?
There is a lot of traffic on 23.
Well, that's true.
But the people going to, and they're saying, well, U of M, the doctors, blah, 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 they're all going to use it, you know. What doctor in his right mind is going to get out of his BMW in Howell, Hamburg, or Whitmore Lake, spend 20 minutes on a train, get off somewhere in Ann Arbor, and share a bus with the Walmart workers or the Meijer workers to get over to the hospital? And then if he's got a late surgery, he's going to miss the train. Seriously?
Yeah, it does sound kind of
impractical. It is just the silly, you know, mass transit like that is good for the East Coast where you really don't have any other options. The population density is so huge that it works. That makes sense.
Chicago, it works.
Yes. And 20 years, 30 years from now, maybe it will make sense then if our population is just huge, you know, and we've got thousands and thousands of people with thousands and thousands of homes on that corridor. We don't, you know, so it's just
very
kind of
rural.
Silly. And that's fine. And I think the state already paid some money to do the train rails. Like they have to weld the tracks together for high speed. You know, but how high a speed are you going to get between Hamburg and Whitmore Lake? By the time you get up 10, 15 miles an hour, you're going to be slowing down again. Right? So do you really need high speed rail? I think they've already wasted money on that. Don't quote me on it, but I think they did. I saw something going on. Allegedly, the state's already taken a bunch of rail cars from some private company and put money into renovating them, right? So they've already spent money on that, and it's not working yet. It's nothing going. But now these jokers, this is the Ann Arbor Area Transportation Authority, AATA, basically. They do a good job running the buses here in Ann Arbor. They do a fabulous job.
See the buses up and down Packard Road.
Yeah, I mean, they do a good job. And they've got those hybrid, diesel, whatever buses. And, you know, they do a good job here. Mm-hmm. But they're out of their mind thinking about doing a commuter rail. And now you want to spend another $650,000 to do that. You could take that money and just, there's buses aplenty. Like People's Express in Whitmore Lake has more buses than they know what to do with. Livingston, educational, transportation, whatever, have more buses than they know what to do with. Give them $300,000 each and start running the buses now.
Sure.
You know what I mean? People will take a bus, and you can run the bus 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I would take a bus into Ann Arbor to go eat dinner and have a drink because I don't like driving after having a couple of cocktails. You know, I'm probably over the limit.
And I think it would be good to get people off the road to a certain degree in that fashion because just when I thought I saw it all, I saw a guy brushing his teeth while driving the other day. So we need to get those people off the road.
Yes. Yeah, if you're going to do it smartly. And spending all this money studying, it's that paralysis of analysis. If you'd taken all the money you've already spent on surveys and everything else, and let me tell you, I did a survey in the current newspaper for this, and 70% of the people living in that area out there said they weren't interested. They wouldn't use it. And the survey that they paid somebody to do said 70% of the people will use it. Well, you know who they interviewed? People in Ann Arbor who won't be riding the train.
Because they have the feel-good green mentality.
Oh, yes. We need to force those people in the outlying areas to live by our standards.
Bring out the white wine. Let's discuss.
Yes. It's just, so people, listening audience, if you don't want to see money wasted like this, get on the horn to your state legislators and tell them to stop letting this kind of Mickey Mouse. It's $650. I know it's federal money. Hello. But that's $650,000 we could give to Obama. Put it in Obamacare or something, you know.
You know, the numbers have gotten so out of whack that, you know, it wasn't too long ago when $650,000 was a lot of money. I mean, it is a lot of money, but people's perception of it now is that it's not a lot of money.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about trillions, what that looks like one of these days. All right, the heartbreak's coming. We will see you all on the other side. See you then.
Be back soon.
on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Parts of the country bracing for a deep freeze so dangerous, it's even keeping Minnesota school kids statewide home for the first time in 17 years.
It is a historic weather pattern that we're having, 86 hours of continued below sub-zero freezing with really dangerous wind chills for our children.
The state's education commissioner, Dr. Brenda Caselius, temperatures there may not rise above the minus teens. Former First Lady Barbara Bush released from a Houston hospital after 6 days of treatment for pneumonia.
They discharged her with a medical regimen that she'll stick with as she continues to recover.
Family spokesperson Jim McGrath and lawyers for a California hospital and the family of a 13-year-old girl declared brain dead have reached an agreement on procedures for moving the girl to another facility. Fox News, we report, you decide.
For collateralized personal and business loans, go to the professionals at Pawn2U. Are you paying high interest rates on your credit card debt? Are you having a hard time making those monthly payments? Do you have valuables at home collecting dust? Then let the experts at Pawn2U see if they can turn your valuables into cash at a lower interest rate than you may be paying on your current credit card debt. Pawn2U makes cash loans of any duration backed by your personal or business assets, with no background or credit checks required. Your privacy is guaranteed, and Pawn2U can come to your home or business at your convenience. Email pawnloans@yahoo.com or call 734-389-5228. That's 734-389-5228. Or go to www.pawn2u.com. That email again is pawnloans@yahoo.com. Or go to the website www.pawn2you.com.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Drift.
Half hour goes by too quick.
It does. It does indeed. We're going to move on, but there was one thing I wanted to talk about. And this is why it irritates me. People are probably saying, Gary, what are you so uptight about the bloody train, you know? Well, here's kind of a history.
Get off that train, Gary.
Yeah, Ryan Stanton from Ann Arbor News did a great job on this article. He's sometimes kind of slanted liberally, but he does a good job. He's got a history of WALI-related expenses. WALI stands for the Washtenaw-Livingston Train, whatever, but that's their little acronym for it, WALI. In 2008, AATA spent $192,800 for what they called an RL Bank study. That's probably the consultant. $192,000 in 2008 study it.
During the financial crisis.
Yeah, yeah. So you're going to spend $200,000 back then, right? And now you're going to spend another. Has that much changed since 2008 that we need to do another $650,000 worth of study?
Well, we have to have an off-site retreat and, brainstorm and
I've been to some of these Wally meetings when they have it. And, you know, it's a bunch of back-patting people.
Oh, yeah.
Patting each other on the back.
Sure.
Oh, you know, hey, this is a feel good to be here.
You know? It's a lot of eating and hanging out.
And then they spent $40,000 on public education and another $6,000 on public education in 2009 and 2010.
And when you say public education, that's selling it to the public.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, trying to sell you a program that's not even existing.
Right. We want your approval, public, but we're going to do it anyway, but we just want you to, like, feel better about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be completely greedy here. Why didn't they give me 40 grand to sell it instead of having me bash it? If they'd said, Gary, can you sell it? I'd have said, yes, I can sell the train if you want. I can make people, I can tell them all kinds of lies that make it sound like it's a good idea.
Put that suitcase of cash under the third tree from the left and we'll make this happen.
Yeah, I'm just... People should be up in arms about this because it's something that's not going to work, not now anyways, and they're just throwing money at it. You know, we're short money. We're spending 40 cents of every dollar we're borrowing, right? It's crazy. All right, well, let's move on. The big story that bothered me this week besides Wally, which came out today.
Not to be confused with Wally World.
It is Wally World, yeah. When you think about it. It's just as crazy, crazy lunacy. Putting that commuter train together, was the New York Times came out this week and said, ooh, Benghazi, there was no Al-Qaeda terrorist activity in it. It all was the video, right? Are you kidding me?
Back to the video,
15 months later. Now, we got a track, Derek, from Congressman Trey Gowdy, who's always entertaining, right? And I learned something listening to him this time, but he completely disintegrates the whole idea of the video being the cause for this. And the New York Times is just, let's face it, paving the way for Hillary, trying to give her a little excuse action for her upcoming presidential run. We're not letting her off the hook, are we?
No, we're coming up with that. And you know, to think that Al-Qaeda is going to be inspired by some stupid video, they don't give a damn about any videos.
Right. So let's listen to this track. This is him talking about the video.
Congressman, what do you think the New York Times got wrong?
Well, first of all, Dana, I want to congratulate the New York Times. It only took 15 months for them to figure out how to spell Benghazi. So in another 15 months, maybe their reporting will actually catch up with the truth. I'll tell you two things they got wrong. Number one, the video was translated into Arabic in early September of 2012. Early September of 2012 is when that video was translated into Arabic. What in the world explains the violence in Benghazi prior to the video being translated and released? Our consulate was attacked way before the video was released. The British ambassador was almost assassinated way before the video was released. The International Red Cross was attacked twice in Benghazi, well before this video was ever released. So if the video is really the impetus for the violence, what in the world explains the violence prior to the release of the video?
Okay, so it wasn't even translated early enough for that to have an effect. You know, English isn't super widely spoken in Libya, I can assure you of that.
It's preposterous from the get-go. Al-Qaeda thinking people that are in that camp, that mindset, they don't need a video to attack. They see opportunity and they take it.
Right. I mean,
they're at perpetual war with us.
It's crazy how the media and the New York Times, of course, just paving the way. And that's what this is. We knew it would happen, but I didn't think it would be this blatant. I mean, there's a million ways you can try to make Hillary look better, but to try and push this one off to the side and say, pay no attention to those four dead Americans behind
the
curtain.
Yeah, and Susan Rice, the current national security advisor, you know, she defended Hillary on 60 Minutes not too long ago. Derek, go ahead and play that video. This is Leslie Stahl talking to Susan Rice.
From her first day on the job as President Obama's national security advisor, Susan Rice has had to contend with one crisis on top of the other.
When someone heard that I was going to be talking to you, they said, you have to ask her why Hillary Clinton didn't do the interview that morning. Did she smell trouble?
She had just gone through an incredibly painful and stressful week.
What difference does it make?
Folks, this is your future commander-in-chief unless we stop it. I mean, this is a perfect storm of lunacy. You have Susan Rice, as National Security Advisor defending the administration's incompetence, and then defending Hillary Clinton that she had a stressful week, painful and stressful week. So she basically, you know, just couldn't function because she was stressed out.
Yeah.
Well, when you become president...
Or Secretary of State.
Or, well, we already saw her performance there.
Yeah.
And again, this too is to shield her so that she can run for president. They're trying to keep her separated from this incident as much as possible. But we're not going to let it happen.
No,
not going to forget. No.
No, no. And you know what? Even if it was a video that made a group of people protest with rocket launchers, go figure, it doesn't excuse her for not listening to all the emails from Chris Stevens, Ambassador Stevens, saying, hey, I need a little help. We need some more security. They said no.
Even if Chris Stevens, in theory, and none of those people had requested extra security, she should have been there and said, really, you're not wanting more security? Well, you're going to get it anyway. Tough.
Yeah.
Because this is a very volatile, dangerous part of the world. It's a no-brainer that you need extra security, period.
Period. Yeah.
Oh, I'm letting it out, baby.
I mean, I'm flabbergasted that the New York Times, formerly a respected institution in this country, would allow some guy to go out and try to report on this seriously. I mean, this is something you'd see in The Onion, right? I mean, unbelievable that they would do this.
The Onion and Pravda.
Or RT.com. I like RT.com. Don't get me wrong. You'll see it. It's on the Daily Drift all the time.
Russian TV?
You get a unique view of the world from RT.com.
Yeah, some of that stuff's Russian actually fun to watch. I haven't seen what's the other one that just that Al Gore sold his network to? Al Jazeera. I haven't seen that one yet, and I think that would be kind of fun in a frustrating way to watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know what station. I don't know that my cable company carries Al Jazeera. I guess I would watch it just to see, but no, I wouldn't. I take that back.
I wonder if it's worse than MSNBC. You know, as far as the slant, I'll bet it.
I'll bet you it's not. I'll bet you it's probably fairer than MSNBC.
Or more clever.
Or more clever.
Trying to disguise their true intent.
I mean, MSNBC is so outrageous with their commentary and their
slanted
views.
It's in your face nonsense.
Yeah. I don't care what you say. I mean, people say bad things about Fox. At least on Fox, you get both sides of the story.
You do.
The commentary, the opinion pieces are all conservative. But the actual news is fair as it could possibly be.
Well, Fox News Sunday, when they have the panel on there, you know, there's, two conservatives, two liberals, and then you have the mediator. What's his name? Chris?
Wallace,
yeah. And he kind of is neutral in the discussion there. I mean, that's about as balanced as you get.
Yeah.
And well, yet the left claims, oh, Fox News, blah. You must, you know, right now, if any liberals are listening to us, oh, that's all you two listen to is Fox News.
Yeah, well, CNS had an article this week, too, about a Chinese tycoon that wants to buy the New York Times. Now, the New York Times is saying, we're not for sale. I'm going to probably murder this. Chen Guangbao. Well, that's not bad, right? It's probably completely wrong, but
Chen Guangbao.
Yes. A Chinese Communist Party affiliated paper owner, told the Global Times that he had a meeting scheduled with the city firm specializing in mergers and acquisitions, blah, blah, blah. And this guy's a billionaire Chinese philanthropist, whatever. He's probably got huge ties to the Communist Party. But could he be any worse having somebody like that own the New York Times?
It's hard to say.
You know, I think I'd rather, at least I would know where they're coming from, you know?
Yeah, there wouldn't be any room for confusion on where they're coming from.
Yeah, that's for sure. So before we leave Hillary and her disastrous, well, should we take a break? Let's take a break and then we'll come back to Hillary.
Okay.
And you'll like this next piece. So stay tuned. We'll see you on the other side.
Yeah. It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
For the second concert of their 35th anniversary season, the Ann Arbor Concert Band presents a rare and unique concert experience, The Genius of Shostakovich, performing only works of Dmitri Shostakovich. Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for seniors and students. Children under 12 get in free. All tickets are available from band members beforehand or at the box office on January 19th. For more information, visit www.aaband.org or call 734-478-7515. Don't miss the Sanctity of Human Life meeting Sunday, January 19th at 6 p.m. at Sunrise Church in Howell. Dr. Monica Miller, author of Abandon, will be the keynote speaker. Dr. Monica Miller has been a pro-life activist since Roe v. Wade in 1973. Don't miss this compelling pro-life hero. The Dawn Farm Education Series provides practical information about addiction, recovery, and related concerns. Recovery from addiction and Christian spirituality will be presented on Tuesday, January 21st from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. by Brother Edward Conlon. Addiction and suicide prevention will be presented on Tuesday, January 28th from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. by Raymond Dalton, the Dawn Farm Outpatient Program Coordinator. Both events will be at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center Auditorium on the ground floor, 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti. Admission is free and open to all. No registration is required. For further information, contact Dawn Farm at 734-485-8725 or visit dawnfarm.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM. 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back to The Drift. Thank you for tuning in to catch Brandon Drake.
Time goes by too fast.
And myself, as we discuss the news of the week. If you want to call in, 734-822-1600, or you can email me, Gary at The Daily Drift.
And you can email me, Drake at whamradio.com.
There you go. Or Facebook us, right?
Yeah.
He promises to use his Facebook. Join us. We'll be happy to befriend you on Facebook.
I will say this. I dislike Facebook less than I dislike Twitter.
I have a little trouble learning to use Twitter. I'm trying, but I'm not quite there yet. I keep – something funky is going on.
I'm not on Twitter, and I know I'm not a scholar on Twitter, but when I've looked at other people's Twitter accounts – not yours, but others – where it just looks like a string of bad texts.
Yeah.
It's like I don't want to read poor English fractured sentences in the first place. And now it's all this jumble of LOLs and
I'm not sold on it.
It's like I don't understand the popularity. I really don't get it.
I think it's just part of a marketing tool if you use it properly. You know what I mean? I don't know how to use it properly yet, but I'm working on it.
I think part of my problem is I'm just old school and I don't want to get it.
You are old school,
bro.
I'm
becoming one of those guys.
Well, let's take care of business. Our sponsor this half hour is the Pinckney Pirate. That's Rick Bowden up at Remax in Pinckney. He just moved into some new offices at the Hamburg Village Plaza. It's right at Chilson Road at M36. You can call Rick 810-533-4343. That's his cell phone. Or the office is 810-231-0011. Or you can go to rick@pinckneypirate.com. Or his website, thepinckneypirate.com. If you're in the mood for selling a home or buying a home, or just want to figure out what your values are, give Rick a call. Good guy.
You pronounce Pinckney perfectly because I have a hard time with that when I do the news.
Pinckney.
Pinckney. Yeah, Pinckney. I always want to say Pinckney.
Yeah, you got to get the N in there and the C and the K. I don't know, you know. Pinckney.
It's Pinckney. Yeah. It's challenging.
Pinckney. So give Rick a call, 810-533-4343. Tell him you heard it here on The Drift. Okay, there we go. A little business taken care of.
Yeah.
So another, before we let Hillary off that easy, doing a little bashing. According to RT.com, there was a survey done around the world. People from around the world were surveyed. The U.S. is the biggest threat to world peace in 2013. That's what people around the world are thinking.
They always think that.
Yeah, well, congratulations, Hillary and Barack Obama, for making us again. I mean, where was the reset button on our changing relations with the world? We were going to be the friends to all those people.
Well, they couldn't even get the reset spelled correctly in Russian. That's how incompetent they are.
Yeah, and a survey.
Where's that Nobel Peace Prize now, Mr. Obama?
I know.
What a joke.
That's still a joke, yeah. In a survey across 68 different countries, the anti-American sentiment was not only recorded in antagonistic countries, but also in many allied NATO partners like Turkey and Greece. That's lovely. I want to go back to Greece. You know what I mean? I don't want them hating me when I go back there.
Yeah, I don't care what they think anymore.
I don't want to get caught in a riot.
Pull out of NATO. There's traitors.
The beaches in Greece are
fabulous. Well, I'm with you on that part. Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, it bothers me that, you know, it's like total amateur hour at the State Department, and John Kerry is just a complete moron, isn't he?
You said it just like he would say.
Moron.
Yeah, a little Mr. Howell in there.
Lovey.
Yeah.
Let's get some weapons for these Syrian rebels. They're working their little tushes off.
Throw some coconuts at those chimpanzees.
Anyway, I'm going to beat this dead horse until 2016. Hillary Clinton cannot be. You know, the Democrats got to have somebody better, right? There's got to be somebody.
There can't be anybody worse. Well, there could be, but well, there's so many of them.
You know, when they talked about Elizabeth Warren. That could be worse, dude. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Some people like her.
I mean, there's got to be one decent Democrat out there that we could run.
Far and few between.
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the guy that I would like. And I can't remember his name for the life of me right now. But he was the guy that gave the speech at the Republican National Convention in 2004. Former governor of Georgia. He was fantastic.
Drawing a blank.
When you know John Kerry was running against George Bush's reelection, and I forget the guy's name, but he was the keynote speaker, a Democrat. And he was, remember that guy?
No. But you know who would be a great guy to run for the Democrats in 2016? Chris Christie.
Well played.
I mean, honestly, if Christie, he's moderate, yeah. Conservative, whatever, somewhere. He's like an old school Democrat for me. You know what I mean?
Well, he's East Coast.
Yeah, he's an East Coaster. I like his honesty on some things, but, you know, he's not quite conservative.
I like his bluntness. Yeah. And when you get Chris Christie, you get basically two presidents.
Are they going to have to bring back the tub that William Howard Taft used? Huh? Didn't they have to put a bigger tub in for Taft because it was so fat? That he couldn't fit in the tubs at the White House.
I like it.
Yeah, there you go. A little bit of trivia. Yeah. I know. Hey, you know what? Speaking of trivia, did you read Glenn Beck's new book?
No.
Miracles and Massacres. Here's a free one to Glenn. Great book. I mean, and he does it in a nice way. So he takes the facts and then extrapolates some of the conversations that these people in history have. And it's the most readable history I've ever read.
Wow.
Hands down.
Cool.
Highly recommend it. I paid $13 or something for the book, whatever it was. Well worth it. Touche. Very good, Mr. Beck. Yes. Just an absolutely fabulous book.
Well written, huh?
Yes.
Hey, speaking of trivia, do we have time for the Drake mystery audio, Blast from the Past?
Little mystery audio? Yes. Yes. Derek, you got some mystery audio for me? Yeah, here we go.
Wow! Isn't this something? Someone is actually going to fly to Mars? It says someday we'll all be able to go. Oh, that's probably Mr. Pouch with my mail, or probably it's Dairy Door with my milk, or maybe I better answer the door and find out. Coming!
Oopsie the Clown? Or
yes!
Something?
You got it! You're 2 for 2.
Ah, dude.
I used to watch that show as a kid and actually liked it. And seeing this video, it was incredibly pathetic and sad. And I thought to myself, how could I have liked this show? I liked Oopsie. I thought Bozo was boring, you know, in the 60s. This show was very popular.
The voice went through me because I was almost going to say it was like Mr. Rogers. It was kind of a Mr. Rogers thing, but then the voice kind of gave it away. I'm like, Krusty the Clown.
And if you're afraid of clowns, this Oopsie will really scare you.
I'm trying to remember. Did Oopsie ever smoke on the show?
He sounds like he did.
I'm surprised if he didn't pull out a cigarette and just light it up. Back in those days, that was perfectly okay to light up. I remember Bill Kennedy. Remember Bill Kennedy?
I do.
Smoking on
That's right.
On his
yeah,
show.
He always had the ashtray and everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
And smoke and talk about the next movie that he was going to do.
And the actors that he knew and co-starred with, because he was kind of a B actor. It's a funny little story about Oopsie, because I like to get on YouTube once in a while at a whim and just explore my past, you know, stuff that that hit me. And Oopsie apparently was a tyrant, and he treated his people poorly, and there was like a 12-year-old page on there. And anyway, Oopsie got a call, and all these shows were live, 6 days a week, live. And Oopsie got a call from his puppeteer and said, you know, basically, you can go, you know where, Oopsie, I quit, and I'm never coming back. I'm going to Channel 7 for Mr. Patch's show or something. And Oopsie looked at this 12-year-old as he's finishing up his makeup and said, let this be a lesson to you, kid. Never treat people like beep. Because when you make it to the top, it's easy to fall.
Yes, I'm so sorry, Derek. I treated you bad. All right, let's take a call from John in Farmington Hills. John, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good afternoon. I love listening to you guys.
Thanks, John.
I'm a very active military veteran here in the community. And when I hear the word Hillary or the name Hillary, it really makes my blood boil.
Yeah.
Myself and several other guys from the area here went to Washington, D.C. back when Kerry was running, and we were part of the swift boat demonstration there when Kerry lied and Goodman died over Vietnam. When I heard Hillary mention, you know, that I was four men, what does that mean? That just made me boil, and I swear that there'll be a big rally of veterans in Washington, D.C.,
oh, good.
When it comes time to run her out of town.
Right. Well, John, let me tell you, if you do something like that, I fully support it. I will give you some space in the newspaper and on this radio show if you put Absolutely. A rally of that kind of thing together. I'll do whatever it takes because, honestly, this woman will be the straw that breaks the camel's back if she's elected.
And John, you mentioned swift boating, and you know that took on the meaning of you know, slurs and lies and all that. And I'm not an expert on the swift boat thing, but to me, the what I did look into it, it was the truth, right?
Truth.
Yeah.
Well, listen, yeah. I'll be listening to you guys, and I'll let you know if anything comes up.
All right, take care, John. Appreciate
it, John.
Bless you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, John. Yeah, he broke up a little bit there, but I think he was agreeing that the Swiftboat thing was the truth.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good show to do. All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, stay informed, stay educated, and prepare for the election season.
Thanks.
See you then.